We are on Kuf Lamed Zion 137. Towards the top, the Mishnah tells us, Misha Hayulo Shnei Tinokos. If you got two kids, Echavamo Achar Shabbos, Vechavamo B'Shabbos. One of the kids is supposed to get a bris milah on Sunday. One of them is supposed to get a bris milah on Shabbos. So V'Shachachu Ma'az Shel Achar Shabbos B'Shabbos. Accidentally, you mix up the kids, and you give the bris milah to the Sunday baby on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? So chayev. You'd be chayev a shogeg. You'd be chayev a chatas for doing so. Which is interesting, given the background of what we said last stop, the last two dapim, which is, good morning, Mark, that that you have no issue of giving a bris milah to a child who's not... who's not chayiv in a bris milah, because it would just be chatichas basar. But here, the child is not presumed to be unviable and therefore stillborn. Here we're talking about a real child who's really going to bleed viable blood, and therefore there's an issue to give a bris milah to that child who's not going to be docha Shabbos. So the question is why. So Rashi explains to us that the whole issue here, even though technically you might be accomplishing the mitzvah of bris milah, meaning that you don't have to give another bris to this child, even though that's the case, so Rashi tells us there's a concept, ta bidvar mitzvah velo asa mitzvahu, that if you did a mistake and you accidentally did a mitzvah, and Rashi says, avad lechabur shelo letorech. So if you make a chabur shelo letorech, so then you'd still be chayav. This is machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi, as we'll see in a second, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yoshua. So here it says if you give a bris milah to the Sunday baby on Shabbos, so then that by accident, so that's going to be chayav chatas. So echad lamo be'erev Shabbos, echad lamo b'Shabbos v'shachach. If you do a bris milah to a child who's supposed to have his bris on Friday, and you do it on Shabbos, Umal Shalav Shabbos B'Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer Machayev Chatas, Rabbi Yeshua Poter, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Yehuda, he'll come up later. Rabbi Eliezer says your Chayev still Chayev Chatas, because that Friday baby wasn't supposed to get a bris milah on Shabbos. You don't have the power to override Shabbos with that baby, and therefore it's Chayev. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Rabbi Yeshua says Poter. Why does Rabbi Yeshua say it's okay? So Rashi says, Rabbi Yeshua poter desfir lei ta bidvar mitzvah va'asa mitzvah pater. If you made a mistake with a mitzvah, but you still accomplished a mitzvah, meaning this child who was supposed to have a bris on the eighth day ended up getting a bris on the ninth day, means that you actually did the mitzvah properly. As opposed to the child who's supposed to get a bris on a Sunday, and you did the bris on Shabbos, so you did not do the mitzvah properly, because you had it too early, and that's not when the mitzvah is. Now again, I'm not sure if you would have to do the bris milah again. I don't know if this is a situation of a child who's born with a bris milah, basically, and you'd have to either do a tafas dam bris, or it's good enough because you don't have anything to cut off. That's I don't remember... I don't remember how we passed in there, but either way, so here's the concept of ta bidvar mitzvah. If you made a mistake with a mitzvah and you accomplished a mitzvah, Rabbi Yeshua says, so then you're going to be pater. Rabbi Eliezer says you're going to be chayev. And according to the Mishnah, if you were ta bidvar mitzvah, you made a mistake about a mitzvah and you didn't accomplish the mitzvah, and you're a mechal Shabbos, so you're going to be chayev l'kuliyam according to everyone. So now the Gemara is going to say Rav Huna masni chayev. Right, Rav Huna says it the way that we have it, that if you do the Sunday baby on Shabbos, then you'd be chayv for Chol Shabbos. Rav Yehuda masni pater. Rav Yehuda, however, says, Rav Yehuda says that the first part is pater, that if you do the Sunday on the Shabbos, then it's going to be pater. So now we'll go through how exactly that works. Rav Huna masni chayv de Tanya. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Lo nechleku Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yeshua. Al mishayu lo shnei beis tinokos. Echalama b'shabbos. Echalama v'achar Shabbos. V'shachah chomal shachar Shabbos b'shabbos shuachayev. Everyone agrees, as our Mishnah says, at least based the Stam, or it doesn't sound like we have a disagreement, that the Sunday baby that's given a bris on Shabbos, everyone agrees you're chayev. Achta b'dvar mitzvah v'lo asa mitzvah. You made a mistake and you didn't accomplish a mitzvah. However, says, according to Rav Huna and according to our Mishnah, Almal nechleku, what do they disagree about? Amish ha'ilo beis nukos echlam b'erev shas rechlam b'shabbos. V'shachach malas shavar v'shabbos v'shabbos. And you did the Friday baby, you mixed them up again, or I guess the first time, and you give the bris to the Friday baby on Shabbos, so then it's tabid var mitzvah v'asa mitzvah. You made a mistake, and then you accomplished the mitzvah, even though it was on Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer b'chayev chatas Rabbi Shua poter. As we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says chayev, and Rabbi Shua says poter. Ushneim lo lamduha ela me'avodos kochavim. Both of them only learn out from the concept of doing idol worship. And this is not necessarily just specifically for Bris Milah. Rashi tells us this is actually where we learn Achiyu Chatas in general. Shehukchu kol chatos shebetor lechatas avorazar. All of the karbanei chatas that you bring in the Torah are connected to avorazar, because the pasuk says Torah achas yelachem. You share the same laws, and that is referring to Parsha Shlach, when it comes to the carbon of Avodah Zarah. So here, we're making a connection too. Rabbi Eliezer, Savar, Kavodah Chacham, what does it mean to be like the halachos of idol worship? Ma'avodah Chacham, Amrachman, lo Savar, v'chi avin v'chayev, just like the Torah says, don't do it. And when you do it, you're going to be chayev. Hachanami lo shna, the Torah says, do not do a bris milah to a child on Shabbos if it's not yet its time. Sorry, if it's not the proper time, right? Because we're talking about a Friday baby that was given a bris on Shabbos. So just like the Torah says, don't do Avodah Zarah, and if you do it, you're going to be punished. So too, don't give a Friday baby a bris on Shabbos, and if you do it, you're going to be punished. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Hasam's a lav mitzvah. Over there, the reason you're going to get punished is because it's not a mitzvah to do Avodah Zarah. But hacha mitzvah, here you do have a mitzvah. You're doing something which would be counted as a mitzvah if you did it on Friday. So too it should be counted as a mitzvah when you do it on Shabbos. Okay, so it wouldn't be necessarily Docha Shabbos, but it's still going to count. The question, therefore, would be, according to Rabbi Yeshua, what is the issue? Why do we have a whole machlokas about being Docha Shabbos? I guess this is not necessarily the best way to do it, but the mechanism is the same. A mitzvah can override Shabbos, right? We saw some logics that said, Asi docha lo zaseh. So as long as you're doing a mitzvah, even if it's not the right exact time to do the mitzvah, if you accomplish the mitzvah, so that should still be Asi docha lo zaseh. Maybe. Either way, that's how we have the Mishnah. That's according to Rav Huna's version of our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda, however, says pater. That the first part of the Mishnah says pater. In what way? The Tanya, Am Rabbi Meir, Lo Nechubei Rabbi Elias, Rabbi Yeshua, Amishai Lo Beis Nios, Echalam Lubev Shabbos, Echalam B'Shabbos, V'Shachach Umal Shel Shev Shabbos B'Shabbos, Shu Pater. That when it comes to a Friday baby that you mistakenly give a bris to on Shabbos, everyone agrees that it's going to be pater. You're doing a mitzvah. If you did a mitzvah, as you just said, Asidu Cholos HaSei maybe. And therefore, everyone agrees that doing the mitzvah, accomplishing the mitzvah, after the child already has his chiyuv to do the mitzvah, like if the child was a Friday bris, just because you're doing it on Shabbos doesn't mean you're going to get punished. So that's, according to Rav Huna, that's the first part of the Mishnah, Pater. Almal Nechleku, what are they disagreeing with? Tzvi wrote to the fifth wide line. Almish Hayulo Beis Tinokos Echalom Achar Shabbos Vechalom B'Shabbos. That if you have a child that's supposed to get his bris on Sunday, and then you ended up doing it on Shabbos by accident, so lo achar Shabbos vechalom b'Shabbos v'shachach amal shachar Shabbos v'Shabbos shrebi Eliezer mechayev chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says you're going to be chayev chatas. You did it too early. Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Yeshua nonetheless, even though it's not yet time to do that bris for the child, nonetheless Rabbi Yeshua is going to say pater. When you do it on Shabbos, Ushneim lo lamdu elam avodas kochavim. Rabbi Eliezer v'asav kavodas kochav avodas kochavim. Am Rachman lo sav v'chiyav v'chayev. Hachanaim lo shna. Same exact logic. The Torah says don't do idol worship, and nonetheless you're doing it here, and nonetheless you did it, you're going to get punished. So too, when it comes to the bris here, if you did the bris early, once it's not yet time for the bris to be done, So then you're also going to get punished just like Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yeshua Hasam lo tarid mitzvah, hacha tarid mitzvah. So this is an interesting concept that Rabbi Yeshua says that the reason over there that you're not going to be, that you're going to be held liable for Avodah Zarah, if you did it, is because you're not doing something worthwhile. You're not doing something which is involved in a mitzvah. Over here, however, you're tarid b'mitzvah. What does it mean, you're tarid b'mitzvah? You're busy doing a mitzvah. Now it happens to be you're not doing a mitzvah, but you're still tarid b'mitzvah. According to Rav Yehuda, that's all we need. So over there says Rashi, tarid lehis asik b'mitzvah gemura, shehare echar mihem zmano hayom, v'tarid libo lemaher v'lasos. Why is it that he made this mistake? Because he thought he was doing a real mitzvah. In his mind, in his heart, he was doing a real mitzvah. He thought he was doing the bris to the Shabbos baby. It turns out he was doing it to the Sunday baby. Because he was so busy trying to do the mitzvah, that's what caused him to make the mistake and do the Sunday baby by accident. So Tani Rabbi Chia Omer Hayar Mimer Lo Nach Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yeshua, Alma, Amisha, Yulo, Besenok, Echlam, Beshabbos, Echlam, Beshabbos. So another version from Rabbi Chia says you have a child, a Friday bris and a Shabbos bris. Amal Shalav, Shabbos, Beshabbos, Shehu Chayev. Everyone agrees that you'd be Chayev for that. So what are they disagreeing with? Amisha, Yulo, Besenok, Echlam, Achar, Shabbos, Echlam, Beshabbos. Veshachach, Umal, Shachar, Shabbos, Beshabbos. If you do the Sunday one on Shabbos, so Rabbi Eliezer, Mechayev. Chatas, Rabbi Shua Poter, as we said, our Mishnah says. No, that's the same as the Rabbi Yehuda's Mishnah, sorry. Just in the other order. So the Gemara says on that, wait a second, if that's really true, that what they're arguing about is the Sunday baby to be given bris on Shabbos, so that doesn't make sense. Hashta Rabbi Yeshua Seifa D'lo Ka'avid Mitzvah Poter. If Rabbi Yeshua says in the Seifa that a Sunday bris that's being done on Shabbos is going to be putter, even though you're going to be putter for Shabbos, even though the bris hasn't yet been chal, you don't have an obligation to do it yet. Reisha, the ka'avin mitzvah mechayev. If Rabbi Yeshua says that the Sunday baby who doesn't yet have a mitzvah done on Shabbos is going to be putter, so of course the Friday bris, which you're doing on Shabbos, where you're going to be doing a mitzvah, that child is now on his ninth day. So over there, you're going to say, Rabbi Shua says, you're going to be chayev for that. He says, if you do an early bris, you're not going to be chayev. So why, if you do a late bris, you're going to be chayev? The late bris, you're actually doing a mitzvah already. So Amri, Debe Rabbi Yane, Reisha, Kegon, Shekada, Mumal, Shal Shabbos, Be'er Shabbos. The situation there is where you took the Friday baby, and you actually did one, you don't necessarily take the Friday baby, but you did one of them on Friday. Right, so you're thinking you did the Friday baby on Friday, and now it comes to Shabbos, and you're thinking you did the Shabbos one on Shabbos, but the problem is that you don't have in front of you, right, in terms of theoretically, you don't have any baby that's supposed to be done, that's supposed to have a bris on Shabbos. You did one yesterday already, and therefore when it comes to Shabbos, you've got one baby left. And over there, with that one baby, you do not have any license. You do not have any license to be docha Shabbos. If, however, there were two babies and one of them allowed you to be docha Shabbos, one of them didn't, and then you picked the wrong one, so then at least in that case you had a possibility that there was going to be a dichloy of Shabbos that's allowed. So that's what the Rabbi Yanai says. Reish kegon shekalem umal shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos delo nitna Shabbos litchos. Shabbos is not supposed to be pushed away in any way. And then the seifa is a different question. Seifa nitna Shabbos litchos. In the Seifa, you have both babies in front of you. One of them is supposed to be on Sunday, one of them is supposed to be on Shabbos. So you've got two babies. One of them is actually allowing you to be Docha Shabbos. You happen to pick the wrong one. But there's at least a possibility that you did so with the thought that you were doing the right thing. And with the possibility, the real possibility that you were doing the right thing to be Docha Shabbos. So Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, Reishanami Nitna to Shabbos Lichos, Legabi Snokos Da'ama. So in the Reisha also, technically, there's another baby in the world somewhere which would allow you to be Docha Shabbos, which is a very interesting statement because this person doesn't necessarily have one of those babies in front of him. And nonetheless, we're trying to use this as a if Rav Tanya said as a svara, and as you can imagine, the Gemara answers, no, lahai gavra mia lo is yahiv. To this person, he wasn't given that opportunity, and therefore, he doesn't have the realistic possibility of being Docha Shabbos with any baby, and therefore, it's not going to be something we consider in the calculation for this person's liability. Very interesting circumstance of events. Lo aleinu, we should never have to mix up babies. Presumably, there are other problems involved with that besides just doing the bris on time. But either way, the Mishnah tells us the following. This Mishnah is the basis of one of my Shavuos riddles in the Shavuos packet. So here we go. Kata nimo l'shmona l'tisha l'asar l'achar asar u'l'yud beis l'pachas v'l'yoser. In terms of the ideal times, the real theoretical times a child should have a bris, there are four times you could do it. The 8th day, the 9th day, the 10th day, the 11th day, I guess 5 times, and the 12th day. So how does that work? HaKetzad, Kidarko l'mishnah, the regular would be on the 8th day, as we know. Nola lebena shmashos nimo lutes. If a child is born during twilight, so then you do it the next day out of a safek. You don't do it on the earlier day, you do it on the later day, which is the 9th. Ben hashmashos shel erev Shabbos, if it's at twilight for Shabbos, so then the 9th day, when you would usually do it, is going to fall out on the next Shabbos. And because it's a safek, as we saw two dafim ago, nimo La'asara, then you push it off to the Sunday afterwards, which would be the 10th. And then you have a situation of Yom Tov La'achar Shabbos, Nimu La'achar La'achar Asar. If you have a Shabbos, and then you have one day of Yontif afterwards, so then you'd be pushing it off until the Monday after, because again, Safek is not going to override Shabbos, and it's not going to override Yontif. But if you have Beis Yom Shal Rosh Hashanah, Nimu L'Shneim Asar. You have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday, Monday, so then you're going to push it off also to Tuesday. And a very interesting inference to this seems to be that you should be able to do a bris on the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus, right? If you have Sukkos, the second day of Sukkos, so maybe you should be able to do the bris for a Safek child on that day, because the Mishnah specifically says Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, Beis Yom Shel Rosh Hashanah, which is more chamor than the other ones. This is Machlokes Rishonim, whether or not that's true. Either a katan hachola in malino so ach yavri, a child who is sick, you do not give a bris until it gets better. We saw this a few days ago, in terms of a kid that's jaundice or who has too much blood. So that's when you would wait for the bris. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel chalat saso chama nosno kol zayin lavroso. If a child has a real illness, a real sickness of some kind, so then only once the child gets better do you start counting the 7 days. So this is actually how we paskin. If you have a child, lo aleinu, that's sick, so then you have to wait till it gets better, and then you start counting the 7 days. That's not the same as jaundice and the same as redness. That happens to just be a practical issue. The child's not necessarily sick. It's just trying to develop at the right pace, and therefore you do the bris right away. Here it's talking about a real sickness, something really wrong. So, Ibayaluhu, Miba'in and Me'es La'es, do you need to be Es La'es? Meaning, do you have to count the calendar days? Or do you have to mamash count it on the clock? Meaning, until it gets to this point of the same time, when the doctor said he's healthy, do I have to write down that time and wait 7 days until that exact time? Or can I just count the days like we do normally? So, Gemara says, Tashma Detani Luda. Luda is a person's name. Kind of an interesting one. Yom Havraso, Kiyom Hivaldo. That the day he was healthy was like the day he was born. So my love, my yom hivaldo, lobo inimis, it's just like you're a child was born. You do not need to do specifically the time on the clock. Af yom havra so lobo inimis, therefore also when he gets healthy, you don't need es leis. So Gemara says, lo adif yom havra so yom hivaldo, deal yom hivaldo lobo inimis, feel yom havra so lobo inimis, apparently according to this shita, it doesn't look like we paskin like it, but you would have to go to the exact same time as it says on the clock. Okay. Interesting, very unfortunately, halacha lemaisa about how to do that. But let's keep going. I hope no one is eating. So the Mishnah says, Elu hein tzitzin hama'akvin. These are the strands that are going to preclude you from accomplishing and fulfilling the mitzvah bris milah. Hama'akvin es hamilu basar ha'chofa es rov ha'atara. The meat, the flesh that's covering most of the crown of the aver, that you have to, of the arla that you have to cut off. So that's what you need to do in order to accomplish the mitzvah. I remember learning this in yeshiva. Everyone wanted to have their own ways of explaining this, but I think we can understand it just with words. V'eino ocha b'truma, and when you do not fully cut off the arla around the crown. So then you are not allowed to eat truma if you're a kohen, right? And then the Gemara continues. Maybe some people have had this experience. I know a friend who had this experience. Sometimes you're worried that you're having this experience, but you always have to talk to a doctor, talk to a rabbi about it. Vim haya ba'al basar. You've got a fat kid, and therefore it looks like he still has an arla. People have experienced this with their kids, but sometimes the child is a little more fleshy, and therefore it looks like that the arla has come back, right? It's still covering. So the Gemara says, mitaknum of neymar asayin. So you have to finish it. I don't know if the safari, I don't know if the Koran or the art scroll has any pictures of this, but sometimes you have to do it again. So that mipnei maris ayin, in case somebody, lest somebody see this person either as a child or when they grow up and say, hey, look, you didn't get a bris. The question is whether or not that's literally true, that he is obligated to do so or not. It sounds from here, even if it looks like, if the fleshiness is still there and it looks like it doesn't have a bris, so it sounds like Mikra Adin, you already had the bris and therefore it's not really chayiv, but you should do it for marasayan issues, which is an interesting concept. So mal ulo vilo para, if you did the bris mila but you didn't pull it back, which is the second part of it, that you sort of pull back the skin so that it heals and it's not covering the crown anymore. So mal vilo para, if you did the bris mila, you cut off the orla, but you didn't pull it back. So ki'ilu mal, it's as if you didn't do the bris mila, and you still have to do that again. So the Gemara says, Amrabi Avina, Amrabi Yirmiya bar Ava, Amrav Basar Hachof Ezerov Gov Hashal Atara. Talking about what exactly is considered most of the crown. So the Gemara says here, it doesn't just mean literally most of the crown, but it means most of the height of the crown. At least on one point. Rashi says, Lo tema rov ha'atara dekatani masnis and rov hekefa. It doesn't mean the circumference. It doesn't mean it has to go all the way around, that it's covering most of it. El afila rov gov haba makum echad. Even if it's in one spot, if it goes to the entire length of the crown, so that's an issue also. Okay, without getting into too much detail. If the kid is fat, Amar Shmuel Katan Hamisor Babasar Rono. So, if the Shmuel says the child was fat, so you have to look at it. Kol's mancha miskasha, venira mahul, enotzarach lamo. Anytime that the aver is hardened, and it still looks like he has a, and then when it's hardened and it's extended, it looks like he has a bris mila. So eino tzarach lamul. So then you do not have to give him a bris mila. Vim lav tzarach lamul. And if it doesn't, if when it's hardened and it's extended, it still looks like he doesn't have a bris. So then you have to do the mila, right? So we're giving like the benefit of the doubt that if it looks like it, even in its extended state, so then you'd have to do it. And then the Masnisatana, another way to phrase this is Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omar Katan, Masorba Basar Rona, so Kol Zman Shemeskasha, V'eno Nira, if when it's extended, it doesn't look like he had a bris mila, so Tzarech Lamulo, V'im Lav, Eno Tzarech Lamulo, and if it doesn't look like that when it's extended, so then you don't have to give the bris mila. It's coming at it from the other angle, basically, meaning when it's extended, when it's hardened, what does it look like? If it looks like it still needs a bris, then you have to give it a bris. According to the first one, if it's extended and it looks like it does have a bris, so then you don't have to. So my binai, what's the difference between these two angles, these two perspectives? Ika binai nira v'ino nira. Let's say it's sort of in the middle. It looks like a little bit. So according to one, you'd still have to do it. According to the other, you wouldn't have to do it. So mal v'lo para tana rabbanan hamal omer hashek sham mitzvasav v'tzivanu al hamila. The person who's doing the actual bris mila says al hamila. Why would he say that? It's because it's not his own child. Avia ben Omar shek shem lachas yisubivirso shalav rav avinu. Haomdim sham, those who are standing around. Omar kishem shenechas labris keni kanas the Torah chupa l'masim tovim. It's interesting. It says haomdim sham. You're supposed to be standing there. But either way, hamivarich. If the person the hamivarich is an interesting word. Presumably, he's referring to the father. That says, "Ashek hidashi did mi betin chok b'sheiro sam v'tzetzav chasam bos b'riz kodesh al kenu b'tzcharzos kel chayach al kenu we have tzureinu tzival atzil yidus sheirinu mishachas laman b'tzar shesam b'tzareinu baruch ata Hashem koreis habris." These are all the brachas that we're familiar with. Hamalas hagerim, someone does a bris mila for gerim. Amar baruch ata Hashem kenu ma'achalam shikun shemetz b'tzav itzvenu al hamila, same as a child. V'hamivarech omer, and anyone who says a bracha says, Ashek shemes olamulas hagerim, ulhaftif mehem dam bris, shel male dam bris, lo niskaimu shemayim v'aretz, shnemar im lo bris yom v'layla chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samti, barachat Hashem, koreis abris, right, quoting a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. All part of the pasuk also. Hamal hasa avadim omer, ashek shemes olamulas mila, v'hamivarech omer, ashek shemes olamulas avadim, So those are all the brachos that we're familiar with. Maybe we're not familiar with from the gerim necessarily, but those are the brachos that one would say for a bris mila. We will come back to Rabbi Eliezer de Mila in one way or another. And the reason it's called Rabbi Eliezer de Mila is because the very next parak is called Rabbi Eliezer also. So we want to differentiate, but here it's saying Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tolin Es Hemesh Amers B'Yom Tov. Shifting gears a little bit, we're talking about setting up a filtration system. So here, you're allowed to set up a Mishameres. Rashi says, Shemesanin in Bashimre Shmari Yayin. It's some kind of apparatus where you pour the sediment of wine in so that the wine can get through into your cup underneath. So the Gemara says you're allowed to set up that apparatus on Yantif, v'nosin l'tzui b'Shabbos, and you're allowed to pour into one which is already set up on Shabbos. V'achachamim omrim, ein tolanos hamesh b'z yom tov, and the Chacham say, in the Sabbath Paskin, you're not allowed to set it up on Yantif, v'ein nosin l'tzui b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to pour into it on Shabbos, v'al nosin l'tzui b'yom tov. However, if it's already set up, so then you're allowed to pour into it on Yantif. So the Gemara says, hash, the Rebbe Eliezer, asuf e'ol orai lo masufinan, l'mev l'chachil ashari. Rabbi Eliezer already told us a couple weeks ago that you're not allowed to add on to an already existing structure. If you remember, the Gemara is going to say it in a second, you remember the situation with the window shutters. So he says you're not allowed to add on to the window shutter lest it look like you're adding to the building. So the Gemara says, if you're not allowed to do that, so then he says here that Rabbi Eliezer would say you're allowed to set up this little apparatus on Yantif. So why would he say that? If one's a problem, this should also be a problem. Someone says, Mahi, what's the problem? Or what's the example that we're talking about? It's not kakachon Rabbi Eliezer Omer Manshkashur, Vitala poking bow, Vimlav in poking bow, that in order to make sure that you could put the window shutter covering onto the window on Shabbos or Yantif, you have to already have connected it from before Shabbos. As because your vitaloi has to be connected and hanging there as if it's already designated for that purpose. As long as it's standing there, it's clearly for the window, and therefore you're allowed to cover it up. We had a machlokas. What does that mean? Benkach. Does that be connected? Can it be just standing there? Fine. Everyone agrees you're not allowed to make a tent, some kind of structure. From the outset, meaning brand new. You can't make a brand new structure on Yantif, and of course you can't do it on Shabbos. So lo nechlu ela hosif. The only issue is to add on. Rabbi Eliezer in Mosim Yantif being tzarach lom b'Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to. Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to add on Yantif, right? Like this window shutter being tzarach lom b'Shabbos, and of course you wouldn't be allowed to do it on Shabbos. Chacham Mosif b'Shabbos being tzarach lom b'Yantif, and Chacham say that you're allowed to add on even on Shabbos. You can put this window shutter on the wall, even on Shabbos. And of course you'd be allowed to do it on Yantif. But either way, Rabbi Eliezer here is saying that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos or Yantif. So too, you shouldn't be allowed to set up this apparatus for pouring through the wine. You shouldn't be able to set it up on Shabbos either. So how are they different? Rabbi Eliezer, Savor like Rabbi Yehuda de Tanya. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Ein ben yom tov Shabbos el ochel nefesh b'vav. The only difference is ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda matur af machshir ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're even allowed to violate or do things that will typically violate Yantif, even for the sake of the preparation of ochel nefesh, which would include this filtration process. So the Gemara says, Amar de shamin and leh the Rabbi Yehuda, machshir and she'ev shalah sozim erev sha'ev yom tov. Machshir and she'ev shalah sozim erev yom tov. Mishamas leh. But wait a second, the concept of Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to do things that are even preparatory for machshir, for ochel nefesh, for food on Yantif, that's only in a case where you're not able to do it from before Yantif. But if you're able to set up this apparatus from before Yantif, so then you should have done it before Yantif. He's not going to let you do it on Yantif. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yehuda, Adif mid Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda and just takes it one step further, that you'd be allowed to set up this apparatus even on Yantif, even though you could have done it from before Yantif, which is a Shita. I don't think we saw a couple days ago when we talked about this, a few days ago when we talked about this, but nonetheless, that is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. So when the Mishnah says, according to this, when the Mishnah says he allows you to set up this apparatus on Yantif, presumably what it means is for the sake of only Yantif, you're not allowed to set up on Shabbos, and that's based on the halacha of Ochel Nefesh. However, if it's already set up, you're allowed to even do it on Shabbos, which we haven't talked about yet, but presumably the Chachamim would have an issue with that too, based on our Mishnah, which says that they wouldn't allow you to do it even on Shabbos. Okay, we'll get to that later. We'll have to stop here, because we've got to get to Minyan. Shkayach, everyone. Some interesting stuff. I do not envy DC, who has to write I don't know if he's still writing them. We might have traumatized him at this point from writing these things. But